Okay. At this point, I'm going to turn the meeting over to Jim to introduce the speaker.
Hello, my name's Jim. I'm an addict.
Hello,
Hey,
Jim.
Jim.
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
I've got this. I've had a couple of strokes, as you know, so I'm a bit wary. But this is an absolute privilege for me. You know, I've known this woman now for 3 years, and if you've come to a meeting to hear real experience, strength and hope, then she has it. She has the message. She's on the message because she's just on the message. And apart from that, we have so much in common. We're both housebound. And she has been an enormous help to me. So thank you, Lisa. And with that, I'll hand you over to Lisa. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Hi,
Thanks, Jim.
hi, everyone. I'm an addict. My name's Lisa.
Hi,
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello. Oh, thank you so much for that introduction, Jim. Made me very emotional already. Oh, I honestly, I'm really nervous. I'm just going to say that and get it out of the way. I feel like I've swallowed a bag of butterflies. That's what I feel like. Yeah, I put an enormous amount of pressure on myself. And so like for the last like couple of hours before this meeting, I've just been trying to just chill out a little bit, like meditate and pray and just it's even when I think about that's what I'm doing to cope with uncomfortable thoughts and feelings. It's pretty strange. I never thought I'd be the sort of person that would say, yeah, if I'm feeling stressed out, I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna meditate, I'm gonna relax. That's never been who I am. Never. I don't know where to start with this share. I feel like I always kind of do the same share, and I don't want to continue that way, but we'll just see what happens. And I do apologize if you've heard me many times before. I'm just gonna pretend like no one's ever heard me before. Yeah, I was thinking about what is the real issue with me? Like where, because it wasn't I wasn't just like drugs that started the issue. Drugs are like we learn in NA, drugs are a symptom of addiction, but they're not, that isn't what addiction is. Addiction is a spiritual disease. It's physical and mental as well, but it's this spiritual aspect to it. And I think what I realize is that I've just never felt like whole. I've always felt like this profound like emptiness, like just deep inside of me, just real sense of like loneliness and alienation. And I don't think that that's anything like novel to anybody in this meeting. I think that that's probably something we all share in common, for the most part anyway. So I've always had this need to feel whole. And so I always looked for things outside of myself to fill this emptiness, to fill that void, whatever it was. It was just, yeah, I just experienced it as extreme loneliness and not feeling safe in my life and not in my environment, not in my body. I just never felt safe. So that was always an issue. So I always looked for anything outside of myself that could fill that emptiness. Like finite things to fill an infinite void, an infinite space. But I now, after, coming to NA, realized that that can only be, it's kind of like, people speak about that God-shaped hole inside. We have that God-shaped void inside, and I guess that's really what it is. It can only be filled by my higher power, which is all sorts of things. But, part of my higher power is NA, and I need to be in meetings. I need to be around you guys. I need all of this to kind of help me to feel whole. That's going to help a lot more than drugs ever did, or more than food ever does. I say does because I still try to use food in insane ways to try and make me feel whole. Not crack that, yeah. I got into drugs fairly young. It wasn't like super young, it was kind of like early teens. I couldn't tell if it was 13 or 14, I don't know. But I found drugs and I just always really enjoyed them. That was kind of, there was no reason to live or to breathe without at least the kind of promise of drugs at the weekend. I didn't necessarily, start off needing them using them the whole time. But I certainly enjoyed them. And that was really the only thing I cared about was getting drugs and using drugs. When it would come to that time, the weekend, although I still used throughout the week and stuff anyway. So, but generally it wasn't like a daily habitual problem until I got to the age of 22, which is when I had kind of like a major life change. I had been at university. I was finishing my honours year, and I got really ill. And I got ill with ME, which I didn't know at the time, and I didn't get diagnosed with that the first 7 years of the illness. So. But it was, that's a whole other story. But I got really ill with ME, and it stopped my life in like every way I knew. Like I was just like all the ways I knew life to be just stopped. I no longer was able to work. I was no longer able to go to university. I was no longer able to go out with the weekends. I kept trying to do those things, but it was becoming more and more difficult. The more I pushed myself, the worse it got. And I wasn't, I didn't get any good advice about how to deal with the illness I had. It was just a whole mess. That was about 13 years ago. And I became kind of just increasingly more ill and disabled over those years, because I was never taking care of myself or doing what I needed to do, which would be like rest and pace myself and things like that. I would just push myself and then I wouldn't be able to do anything. And it was because of the illness that I got prescribed opiate painkillers. And that's really the downfall. That's kind of the dark descent into madness, I always say. That was when drugs became, a daily, habitual, physical, compulsive problem. I spent 10 years just becoming more and more degraded by it all. I was prescribed these for physical pain, but I realize now I was, as much as that they would have helped physical pain in certain situations, I realize now that I was actually self-medicating from the emotional pain and that kind of hole in the gut feeling that I was talking about earlier. It was like I think that they help with that more, and that's when I just became, I just relied on them to feel better mentally and emotionally. I mean, it did the exact opposite, actually. It made me very unwell mentally and emotionally, but I didn't think about it like that at the time. I was certainly in a great deal of denial around that. I thought that they were the only solution I had, because I had this illness that was making me very, very ill, very, you know, very debilitating, very disabling. It just felt like I needed them. I couldn't deal with this illness without them. And so I kind of used that as an excuse to keep doing it. And I wasn't able to cope with I was never able to cope with life very well anyway. But I wasn't able to cope with this new life, and to kind of be this person that became housebound and bedbound, and I became angry about it. I was just resentful and jealous and all of those things. I was not able to cope with anything. I was angry, frustrated, and I just used that to deal with everything. But I don't want to use that as the full excuse. I think I could easily have ended up in that same situation without getting Emmy. Because as I said, I just always had this feeling of just utter like loss and loneliness. And so I could have easily ended up the same way. So I went on like that for years, and I really destroyed relationships with people around me. I became a very manipulative individual. I lied all the time. I was gaslighting people all the time because I was stealing from them and making them feel crazy for ever asking me if I stole from them. You know, it was like I was driving the people that were closest to me. I was driving them insane with my behavior, stealing from them all the time, and cheating, and just being a pretty terrible human being, just very self-centered, and unable to see anybody outside of myself. And that it all kind of, my whole addiction kind of culminated with me overdosing, and So 3 years ago I overdosed, and I overdosed on all this different stuff that I was taking together, but some really dangerous stuff that I had ordered online. It's very dangerous to take drugs. I just didn't realize that because I never really knew what I was taking. You know, yeah, I got addicted to prescription medication, but like that only went so far. You know, like I was only allowed a certain amount of them every day. So like I needed to get other drugs, and I never really, you know, a lot of times I didn't know I was taking, and there was a lot of dodgy things that I just didn't care, because I just, the drugs and not feeling mattered to me more than the actual danger. So yeah, I ended up overdosing really badly, and I had to be put into a coma to protect my brain. And I was very, very lucky to come out of that with my life. Very, very lucky. Because all the doctors that were around didn't think I was going to make it. So the fact that I lived was amazing and miraculous. I don't know. I feel like at that time in my life, things were so bad at that time in my life. Like when I think about that now, it just makes my stomach hurt. Like, because I was so miserable and unhappy. But I really thought that that was just what my life had to be. Unless I got better, I wasn't ever going to be able to even try to stop taking drugs. I truly believed that I was stuck in that way of life. But there was something that happened, like something I can't explain. The stars aligned in a certain way And when I woke up in hospital, having no idea why I was there, after finding out and all of that, there was a part of me, a little part of me that was like, maybe this is my opportunity. Maybe this is my chance to stop using. I mean, it wasn't just like an easy snap decision because I was so used to taking drugs every day, all day long. And like, yeah, that was, I used them to, you know, if I felt ill, I would take them. If I didn't feel ill, I would take them. If I had, you know, if I couldn't sleep, I would take this drug. If I needed to stay awake, I would take this other drug. So I used them for everything. I didn't know how to be alive. So it was really frightening and scary. But somehow I found NA, you know, somehow I found online meetings. I didn't mention I'm from Shetland to anybody who doesn't know. Shetland is a very little island, the most kind of northerly part of the UK. It's like the it's a tiny little island off of Scotland. And so NA has never, like, there's never really been an NA presence in Shetland, so it was never something I had really heard about around here. There wasn't really any help for, there wasn't any kind of help for people who were addicted to drugs in Shetland. So there was that issue. And also the fact that I'm housebound, there's that issue. So finding online meetings was the most incredible thing ever. I think about it all the time, just how grateful I am. I just wrote into Google, you know, like help for addiction in Shetland, and up popped the Highlands and Islands area. I even remember what it stands for all of a sudden. Highlands and Islands, groups of Narcotics Anonymous. God, my brain. I must say I'm like just recovering from a cold, which it's not really a huge deal, but it does. I'm very affected cognitively by any kind of by anything that adds any sort of tiredness or, you know, fatigue to my life. So I am a little bit like I'm not at my best, but never mind. So yeah, so I found Higna just on Google, just like that, and it was just kind of. I don't know. It's amazing, isn't it? It's like one of those moments in life where you can go one way or the other, and I went the right way. You know, I came on to my first ever online meeting, and I've been coming to them ever since that, 3 years ago. It's been, I mean, incredible when I think about it. I don't even know where to start with it all. You know, like, 'cause I was so isolated from the whole world because of the fact that I am housebound and unwell and stuff. I do have family around me. I'm very lucky in that regard. I live with my boyfriend, and I see my mum most days. They're both kind of my primary carers. So I did have them around, but I didn't really have conversations with anybody because nobody really wanted to talk to me. I wasn't really a fun person to be around, so, and I also didn't really want to interact with anybody. I kind of just wanted to be left alone with my drugs most of the time, if I had them. And if I didn't, I might be manipulative and pretend I cared, try and get something out of somebody, but you know, for the most part, I was very isolated, and to be able to find, you know, meetings online and kind of have this community of people I'm getting to know from, you know, all over the world. That's been such an important thing for me. You know, that kind of feeling of loneliness that I've always felt, that kind of ache inside, it feels it feels much more like I feel much more whole now. Don't even know. I've been I think like how to speak about the last 3 years. I think the last, I would say, the last 3 years have been the best years of my life. Like, yeah, without a doubt. It's been really unexpected to find any, to having known nothing about it and just to kind of wander in. And I just very quickly realized in my first meeting, my first week of meetings, that this was something really special. You know, like these, you know, the meetings, NA, it's something really, really special. Because here are all these addicts, but they're, you know, like they're talking about being clean. Like it was, you know, like it was an incredible thing. Like, you know, for one of the first things I noticed in my first meeting was like the honesty that I heard. I was really shocked by the level of honesty because I was not being honest with anyone and I wasn't having honest conversations with other people about my drug use. I was doing everything I could to hide it, and not let anyone see what was going on. So hearing that honesty in meetings, I think that was really attractive to me. And also, just like, I remember just thinking, like, I just seeing people, you know, just like chatting, like, you know, being familiar with each other and kind of chatting together and laughing and clearly knowing each other. I remember that being very attractive as well. And I kind of, you know, at my first kind of week of meetings, I thought, I want to be a part of this kind of camaraderie. Like, I want to be a part of it too. I want to get to know these people. You know, I want to, yeah. I'm going to do that. And so I really kind of made a concerted effort to try and get to know the people in the meetings and, you know, come a little bit early, stay a bit later, and just, and not even necessarily speak to everybody, but I would just kind of sit in the background quietly and like, not, that sounds kind of creepy. But you know, I was also very shy, but I really wanted to be a part of it all. And yeah, and you know, like now I do feel like I'm a part of NA, a part of Higna. I kind of, yeah, it's amazing. It's a very different feeling. I'm making it sound like the last 3 years has been absolutely perfect, I just realized. Which isn't true. It's been, I think what I mean when I, you know, because I'm saying it's been the best 3 years of my life. And I stand by that even through the difficult times because there's a level of, you know, there's just something different. Like I've, the first kind of year of my recovery was very kind of just like, I guess like the fluffy pink cloud, as people do say. Although I still feel like I have my pink cloud, so I don't really want to get rid of that. But I definitely struggled when it came to the last year, and maybe even a bit before that. So yeah, there's, you know, it's, but it's not even like I had a really bad, like I have really bad kind of memories of it. It's just like me kind of learning to live life on life's terms, you know, because I've always wanted to live life on Lisa's terms, like my own terms. And I wasn't really, I've never been very happy that I have to do anything other than that. And it was something that did freak me out when I came into NA, when I saw that live life on life's terms. It scared me because I realized, like, I don't think I want to do that. You know, I've always tried to avoid dealing with the hard parts of life. Not that there ha you know, I've been through a lot of difficult things in my life, but I always tried to kind of avoid the feelings that went along with them, mainly by using drugs. But there's lots of ways to deny and avoid feelings. So I've kind of, always had this way about me where I've never really known how to feel or how to deal with feelings or anything like that. So that's still a process that I'm going through. Still is how to kind of deal with feelings and how to live life on life's terms. February last year, one of my oldest and closest friends died. She was an addict. She was not in NA. She died of this disease in almost the exact same way that I almost died. The circumstances are very eerie. That was really difficult. That was really difficult. You know, that's what I mean by life on life's terms. Like, I don't always know how to deal with that. And I don't always want to. Like, there's a big part of me that wants to just say, like, okay, what if I pretend that never happened? You know, like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear bad things because then I'm going to have to deal with them. That was really painful. It was made more painful by the fact that I hadn't spoken to her since I had gotten clean, or not long after I'd gotten clean. Because I kind of gotten clean, coming to NA, and I'd realised that, like, our friendship was very unhealthy because of our drug use. There was kind of toxicity that was there. I was so used to our friendship being about us talking about drugs. I just knew I couldn't do that at that point in my recovery anyway. And so I spoke to her, told her, like, I can't speak to you for a little while. Like, I need to do this. I really need to give this a go. I did tell her about NA, and I did give her details to the meetings and everything, but it obviously just that wasn't her path, obviously. The previous, I don't know how long it was, if it was like 18 months of my recovery at that point, I hadn't been able to speak to her. And it didn't mean I loved her any less. It just meant that that's what I had to do that in order to stay clean. I knew that, and she knew that. It was like, we absolutely still loved each other. There was no ill will between us, but it was incredibly difficult when I found out that she died, because I hadn't spoken to her for that amount of time, and it just broke my heart. You know, it really broke my heart. In an ideal world, life on Lisa's terms, I would have her, you know, in this meeting right now, I would have her having the same experience. But I think it's been a really big lesson, and like, I cannot make anybody else want this just because I want it for them. You know, I can't force it on anybody else, and it's a painful lesson to learn. You know, it's a massive lesson in powerlessness and letting go, detaching, you know, all things that I'm not good at and have never even thought about before I came to NA. I'm a very controlling kind of person. Like, I've always lived in that kind of fear of the world just being so unpredictable, that I had to find ways to control it. And I never was controlling it, you know. I know that, but it's still, you know, this is, you know, recovery is a massive process for me of learning how to live in a different way, and to continue to practice, you know, detaching in love, to continue practicing letting go, and my, to accept my powerlessness in all areas of my life, not just with the drugs, but in all areas of my life. And yeah, so that was a really, that this, it's still difficult. You know, I was meditating the other day and I had this, I don't know if it was a, I can't even remember now if it was a memory or something about my friend Naomi. And I, when I kind of woke up from that, I just felt so desperately sad, you know, because like it's almost like a kind of a memory or something, and I was kind of reliving something. I could imagine her just exactly how she would say something, or, you know, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but it, yeah, that was really, really difficult. You know, and it's also difficult to live with chronic illness, and the kind of level of disability I have. That's something that kind of challenges me daily. Although sometimes I think I actually deal with that okay. It's more like when I get like a cold or something that I can't deal with it. Like, like something else on top of it I can't deal with. But no, it's difficult to kind of deal with all of the stuff that comes with being somebody who has ME, that has, you know, ME on top of being an addict in recovery. And somebody who's housebound, and like it's difficult to that. Yeah, it comes with its own set of difficulties. For the most part, I deal with it okay. I think the one thing that gets me is I get very frustrated with my lack of ability to do things because I have to I have no choice but to spend a lot of my time resting, which can be very frustrating and very boring, you know, because my mind tells me I've got like about 1,000 things to do, but I can't do those things. And so a lot, you know, it's like a lot of, it takes a lot of kind of practice to actually be able to just allow myself time to rest, you know. And that's where my sponsor has been incredibly important, actually. She's been incredibly important in a lot of areas, but that is one way that she's been really helpful to me, is helping me to learn how teaching me that it's okay to rest. Because I never got that message growing up. I never understood that. So when I got this illness that is, you know, it's an energy limiting illness, and I have very, very low amount of energy, and it goes very quickly when I do have it, it was very difficult to have that because I didn't know it was okay to rest, and it's a really big lesson that I feel like my sponsor is helping me to learn. It's like, it's okay to rest, like that's what my body needs, it's okay. And I feel like I'm getting better with that with over time, you know. These things all take practice because it wasn't what I was used to when I came in, you know. So there's things. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I went through a depression as well recently. When was that? End of last year? No, the last half of the last year. So from August last year till early this year. I went through a really bad depression. I have clinical depression as well. Another diagnosis that I have. I've always been kind of a very depressive personality, but it's the first time in recovery that I'd really gone through that. And that is really difficult. Depression is really difficult. It's a really difficult thing to go through. I think it's a difficult thing for a lot of people to understand. Even I'm hard on myself when I have depression, you know, like I tell myself I need to get a grip, you know, I need to just like give myself a shake. That's something I can imagine like my dad saying, you know, just pull up your bootstraps, you know, just all those kind of negative messages that I got when I was younger. It's how I beat myself up now, and getting depression was really difficult for that. And it actually, having that depression almost almost resulted in me using, which was a very frightening experience. When I look back on that, I realised that it was because I wasn't being honest and sharing about it. I had been honest and told my sponsor, you know, I'm going through depression. And I told a few of my friends in recovery, oh, I'm going through depression. But it was not something that I was consistently being honest about. I maybe said it out loud a couple of times over the few months that I was going through it. And it's always something that, kind of like addiction, in the same way that my brain says, like, don't tell anybody about this because it's, you know, it's negative. Nobody wants to hear about it. It just brings them down. And so I kind of kept in a lot. And that was my biggest lesson and takeaway from that, was like, don't be afraid to reach out to others. Because I don't know what my fear is around that. I've always just been, you know, tried to be very self-sufficient in a lot of ways. I'm not that self-sufficient in other ways, but I always find it difficult to just like admit that I needed help from other people. It's really taught me the importance of that, though. You know, just like reaching out and just saying to somebody, like, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. I don't have to, you know, it's not even like I have to say much more than that. It's just about having somebody there that hears me and, you know, and sees me. And I just don't feel so alone anymore. And I think that that's been a massive takeaway for me. But, yeah, so there's been, yeah, like I say, there's been ups and downs over the last 3 years. You know, one of the ups is that my niece Charlotte, who's my oldest niece, or nephew, she's pregnant, and to begin with, that was very difficult because she's only 17, but she wasn't sure if she was gonna keep the baby to begin with, so I was very worried for her. And you know, there was a lot of that stuff going on. But anyway, she is going to have the baby, and she's due in September, and I'm going to be a great auntie to a little girl. She's having a little girl, and that's just been the most beautiful thing. I can't even explain. Like my niece and nephew, my older niece and nephew, are I'm really, really close to them. I helped my sister to bringing them up when they were younger. I was kind of the cool parent for her. And so it's just like, it's just amazing to now be in the situation where she's going to have a little girl, you know, like my baby is now having a baby. And it just fills me with so much joy, you know. So there's, you know, like I say, there's ups and downs in life, but to me, it's more like there's far more, the good outweighs the bad, I think, basically. And for me, the good is mostly just the people that I have in my life. Like the relationships that I got back, which is like my sister and my nieces and nephews, getting those relationships back and them becoming like they were before. Or better than they were before, actually, because it's more healthy relationships I have with people now. You know, getting to have those relationships back in my life has been incredible. But then there's also the people that I've met in NA. And now I've got this whole other family of, you know, just like, I've met the most incredible people. And that, I don't have adequate words to express how grateful I am for that. I don't know how to express my gratitude for that. Like, I've just made the most incredible connections with people. I haven't met any of you face to face I live in Shetland. I'm far away. It's not likely I'm going to meet many of you, unless I get loads better, like miraculously, and then I'm going to visit all of you. But yeah, sorry, I'm getting very emotional. Yeah, I haven't met you guys face to face, but I don't think that that has anything to do with the level of connection that a person feels within them, within their heart and soul. I have really deep connections with people from all over the place, all over the world. Really deep, beautiful connections that I feel just nothing but gratitude to have. There's just no way to explain it. It's been one of the most important things in my life, is just making the friendships and connection that I've made through NA. And the other thing about, I started off saying about the kind of the good outweighs the bad. The other good that I was going to speak about was the fact that I'm also, not only am I building relationships with, my family, with NA people, but also I'm building a relationship with myself and with a higher power. And that's pretty amazing as well. I'm able to look at myself today and see that I have changed. I am a better person today than I was, definitely than I was 3 years ago. I'm a far better person. And that is all because of NA. Because of NA, because of my higher power, I wouldn't have one without the other. It's about doing the stuff that I heard, suggested to me from, the first meeting I ever went to was, get a sponsor, work the steps, go to meetings, do service, those things. I've learned how to kind of make those things a part of my life. I think one of the most important things for me is kind of building a relationship with a higher power. At my sponsor's suggestion, I kind of started praying and meditating first thing in the morning. And yeah, so I have my morning spiritual rituals that I do every day. I get up and I pray, I meditate, I read the daily readings. I connect with other friends in recovery, and I do as well. I'll do 15 minutes of step work as well. I would do that. I would do that every single day, just because I found it overwhelming to begin with, and I'd be doing too much, and then I wouldn't be able to do any at all. My sponsor said, "Why don't you just do 15 minutes a day?" Did that, and that's been amazing. That's like one of the best pieces of advice I ever got. Just do 15 minutes a day. It's really taught me about, doing little bits of stuff every day, doing incremental kind of things, accumulation, and all. And I think that, with the, well, I'm going from one place to the next quite quickly here. Sorry, I am all over the place. Yeah, I mean, having those, doing those things every day has helped them to become a part of my daily routine. I do a meeting every day. I have a certain meeting I go to every day. Though all these things have become a part of my daily routine, and I really need that routine because I don't have a working routine. I can't work because of my health. And so I need to have a routine of things, and it's just helped me so much to kind of just start getting a grasp on life and learning how to live life, because I just completely had forgotten how to just do anything. And yeah, it's that routine has been so important to me. But yeah, it's like step work and things. Step work is really, oh God, I could have said so much more about step work. I feel like I've just spoken. I have no idea what I've said. There's so many other things I could have said. Step work is important. I'm not going to go into all that. I think I'm probably going to try and just like cap it off here because I've got so much more to say. What have I been speaking about for the last 40 odd minutes? I do apologize. I really am very kind of cognitively impaired at the moment. And I feel like I'm just kind of rambled on and I've no idea what I've said. But yes, I'm very glad I found any, to conclude. I'm very glad it's helped me to find myself, helped me to find a higher power that I can believe in. And most importantly, it's helped me to find all of you. And I am so truly and incredibly grateful for each and every one of you. I can't even tell you. It just means the world to me. I'm so grateful to be here. So grateful for you all. And yeah, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you, everyone.